ate so much meat during the war, by the time it was over 3 weeks later, I was like, no, we need to keep fighting. Make a couple of stops on our way home from the Persian Gulf. First stop, Vietnam. Surprise the fuck out of those people, huh? You make a movie? Not this time, pal. Second stop, not Iraq, not Iran, not Russia. I'll tell you where. You know where? Canada. I don't trust those people, okay? They're too nice and they're too quiet and they live right above America. I think if you live in Buffalo, right in the Canadian border, and you listen real close late at night, you can hear those Canadians up there sharpening their ice skates, getting ready to come down and take our fucking cheese. I don't trust any country with that many French-speaking people, okay? Because in Montreal, in the French-speaking quarter, they treat Americans like shit. You know why? Because years ago, they gave us the croissant. Le croissant. And what did we do? We turned it into a croissant. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You got any pate? We'd like some of that, too. Some chicken liver pate would be very nice. I don't pronounce it pate. I'm not going to pronounce that little faggly squiggly mark over the E, okay? I'm an American. I pay my taxes. It's pate as far as I'm concerned. It's like that singer, Sade. Well, my name is spelled Sade, but I pronounce it Sade. Great, my name's Dennis. I'm going to pronounce it Tefle, okay? We can all be fucking French. Pronounce your name the way it's spelled. And then you can suck on my pinné, okay? Chante-baton. I don't have enough problems in my life worrying about cancer and tumors and war and everything else. I have to walk into a coffee shop in the middle of Manhattan every morning and go, yeah, give me a cup of coffee and then give me one of those, what do I say? Give me a fucking donut, okay, pal? Give me a donut with chocolate icing on top and nothing inside. I don't trust people who put shit inside a fucking donut, okay? Well, it's only hot blueberry sauce. It could be hot French semen for all I know, pal. I want a donut. Chante-baton. France, country that made Jerry Lewis famous, for Christ's sake. France. What's your name? Chante-baton. Where do you live? Wow, I'm really out of control in this French thing, aren't I? Holy shit. Wow. There was a second there where I almost left the building and took Jerry Lewis hostage. How do you say help in French? Help me, I have a big French monkey in my back. Get him off me! Whew. I don't know. Personally, I think Mama Cass said it best when she said, all the leaves are Monday.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnish, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
I just sat through a high school open house and felt it like I just need a good angry rant.
That is one thing, and I've made comments before, like, I still find Dennis Leary funny. On a lot of his stuff, I've never really liked his writing, but his stage presence and stuff like that when he goes on a rant, nobody.
Some of his... And
does a rant better.
I didn't pick some of his better rants because they were 9-10 minutes long.
Yeah.
But, dude, when he gets on a roll, it's unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And... the writing isn't all that bad in the legit rants. Now, some of it's just straight stand-up stuff. Yeah, it could be a lot better. But those straight rants where so much of it is based on truth or opinion of truth, like, it's unbeatable.
Yeah.
It's a lot like your favorite Kinnison screaming and yelling and going on his truthful rants, you know?
And that's it. It's when he gets like that one where he is just on a roll. It's like I said, where I have issues sometimes is, like you said, some of his just normal comedy when he's just trying to do comedy. It's different when he's on a roll like that. He gets me every time because I think it's the genuineness of it. I mean, he is genuinely just like, you know, and he takes that role beautifully.
I mean, here is this from the movie Demolition Man.
Come on, move.
Which he wrote this for the show or the movie.
false cop coming down here after the show you put on.
We're looking for a murder death killer. Can you help or just bully us with your primitive weapons?
Now I want to watch this movie.
Not so primitive.
I did recently.
So did I.
So you think you're taking me in, huh? Guess what? Not happening. You tell Cocteau he can kiss my ass. Yeah, that's right. You tell Cocteau it's going to take an army of assholes to get rid of me because I don't give a shit. I got nothing to lose.
I don't want to rain on your parade, pal. But I don't know who the hell you are, let alone want to take you anywhere. So stay here, be well, and Cocteau's an asshole.
Let's take him and dump him up top. They're only down here to spy on us.
Wait a minute. You're the guy outside Taco Bell.
Yeah. What do you want?
I guess you weren't part of the Cocteau plan.
Greed? Deception? Abuse of power? That's no plan.
That's why everybody's down here?
You got that right. See, according to Cocteau's plan, I'm the enemy. Because I like to think. I like to read. I'm into freedom of speech and freedom of choice. I'm the kind of guy who likes to sit in a greasy spoon and wonder, gee, should I have the T-bone steak or the jumbo rack of barbecue ribs with the side order of gravy fries? I want high cholesterol. I want to eat bacon and butter and buckets of cheese, okay? I want to smoke a Cuban cigar the size of Cincinnati in a non-smoking section. I want to run through the streets naked with green jello all over my body reading Playboy magazine. Why? Because I suddenly might feel the need to, okay, pal? I've seen this future. You know what it is? It's a 47-year-old virgin sitting around in his beige pajamas drinking a banana broccoli shake thinking I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener. You live up top, you live Cocteau's way. What he wants, when he wants, how he wants. Your other choice? Come down here, maybe starve to death.
All right, then why don't you take charge and lead these people out of here?
I'm no leader. I do what I have to do. Sometimes people come with me. All I want to do is bury Cocteau up to his neck and shit and let him think happy, happy thoughts forever.
And I got bad news. I think he wants to kill you.
Probably my favorite Stallone movie outside of Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that movie. But, yeah, just... Oh,
that is an amazing movie.
When he goes and then he's, you know, talking there about, you know, free thinking, blah, 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 blah. And then his idea of free thinking, right? If somebody said to you something about free thinking, you're like, yeah, like, I want to have the right to, you know, this or that or blah, blah, blah. And it's normally like, you know... Let's just take a woman, for instance, right now with everything going on. Like, I want to have the right to my choice, my body, all these things, right? Not him. Big Cuban cigar, green jello all over my body. Like, that's where the comedy part comes in.
Well, and that's where he's so good. When he gets on those rants, I mean, he throws out things that, like, most comedians we always talk about. You want the twist. You want to say something that nobody expects you to say. If they can see the punchline before you get to it, you've missed.
Yeah.
You know, and he is just so quick. And every one of them, the statements, you're like, you're trying to figure out what the fuck did he mean by the thing he said 3 seconds ago, you know, three statements ago.
Yep.
And he's already moved on to, like, the next one. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, he's one that the album, I mean, not that comedy albums are bad, because they're not, but he's one that's perfect for comedy albums, so you can continue to go back through, because you're going to miss something, right? Yes. You may hear that first line and start laughing, and by the time you stop laughing, he's 10 more lines down the fucking road.
Yes.
And you're like, wait a second, I got to go back. I got to check this out. What the fuck happened? Like, you almost have
and
to watch him in parts.
Great. I mean, I've always really liked him, but it was one of those things that I made comments before that I lost a little bit of with him when I started doing comedy, because then I started seeing more of the chinks in the armor of his writing. But then when he gets on one of those rants, nobody can beat him. Nobody can beat him on one of those rants, because he just freaking just goes.
See, and I struggle comparing like that, especially for quote unquote past greats or ones that we watched growing up, right? I can't, just like Dice Clay. You look at Dice Clay's writing, it's absolute trash. Like,
but his presentation is what gets it.
But not even that. When I was a 14-year-old kid, when I first watched The Dice Man Cometh, you know, it was fucking, like, I never thought about the writing.
No.
Why? I shouldn't go back and analyze it now. Now you can analyze anything that's come after, but I still look back and go, man, the Dice Man Come is one of the funniest fucking specials I've ever seen in my life.
Well, and I think a lot of it's got to be time, too, because, I mean, it's one of those things, I think, you know, if you saw that now and you'd never seen it before, you'd have a completely different take on it. And I think part of that comes from once you see what it takes to, like, go through and write some of this stuff. But at the same side, it's the stage presence, too. Kind of like we were saying about Dennis Leary. I mean, some of the stuff with his, without the stage presence, it's not there.
Yeah. I still enjoy it. I don't know what it is.
I enjoy it completely. I'm just saying without his stage presence is 70% of what sells his comedy. And Dice was the same way. It's the stage presence. Kinison, a lot of those were stage presence, sold more than anything.
But it's kind of why, too, like, I don't, like, where my problem with quote-unquote cancel culture is, right, is when you go back and you're watching this, nothing these guys were saying, even, like, Leary in that little tidbit using the gay slur. However, I'm trying to see, there's no date on this. I was trying to see when this came out. But it's, you know, obviously, Leary's been irrelevant for a long time, especially stand-up wise. So this is probably a long, long time ago. I don't
Some of these comments are 15, 13 years ago.
Well, this video was posted 15 years ago. Yeah. And the word probably was still bad then. I think that's probably right around. So, but I'm telling you, this is older than that even.
Oh, yeah.
But when you go back and you rewatch these things, you can't go, oh, let's cancel them now, right? You got to judge it on, now did they fuck up yesterday? Now that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about it. We use those words daily at 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, high school. You know, those were how you ripped your buddies.
There's even words now that slip out occasionally because you're so used to them being part of your, you know, in your vocabulary. It's more of, I think now is it shouldn't be the cancel culture of what happened 10 years ago. Are you still doing what you did 10 years ago?
It's the growth.
It's the growth. All of us have mistakes. All of us grow.
If you didn't grow and you're still doing it, it's no longer trendy thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because back then it was a trendy thing. You used the R word. We called our buddies that all the fucking time.
Yeah.
We used the gay slur. We used gay as a slur. Like, yeah. that was a playground insult. You know?
Yeah. It was also a way of, like, saying, oh, that's gay. You know, and it was, I don't know. For me, it was never like, oh, that's, like, the worst thing in the world. It's just like, yeah, that doesn't sound fun. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. But, like, the big comeback with, like, the F gay slur was like, oh, yeah, I'm a cigarette. Because we all knew that in England, it's the word for smoke. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I struggle with that. But with that, right, I can look back at this shit and have that same enjoyment and mindset of why I enjoyed it when I first saw it. So, and it, like I said, same with Dice Man. You know, Kinison wasn't real edgy in that regard. Pryor was not real edgy in that regard. Carlin was definitely not edgy in that regard. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But all those guys were truthful, great storytellers.
And that's what made him amazing.
You know. But when that childhood boyish sense of humor comes out and you get the dirty playground jokes, Leary, Dice Man, you know.
Yeah.
That type. Then, but I can still look back, like, it doesn't bother me.
No.
I don't.
And it's one of those things, it's like, I know, you know, we're not supposed to say those words now, but sometimes it's just like, you know, it's the same as going back and watching a movie from the 70s or 80s or whatever, and they use words or do things, and it's like, you want some of the movies from the 80s, and half the things they do would be so problematic.
I think of the relatively new, let's cancel Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a couple scenes in there that, but I mean, it's.
However, either those really happened in 1980s college, mm-hmm. quote unquote panty raids and perverts setting up cameras. Like, I don't think those writers just made that up off the top of their head. Right? We've talked about this with this TV show Shameless.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. People's imaginations are fucked up.
Oh, they're very fucked up.
But something had to have come for your imagination to then take off. Like, I struggle to believe that, you know, you're sitting there. I don't even know who wrote Revenge of the Nerds, but, you know, and you're like, oh, let's do this. Well, where'd that come from? I just made it up right now. Nah, did you?
No.
You know, and how many of those 80s movies had college scenes like that?
A lot.
Porky's. Porky's was high school, but Porky's.
And if anything's problematic, that's problematic. But, oh, I mean, you know.
Porky's is fucking a beautiful, beautiful movie.
No, it is. It is, but it's just one of those things, like I said. I mean, it's everyone
all
wants
Porky's
to go back
did
and
was say the quiet part out loud. The quiet part that sadly is probably still happening in high school. A group of dudes get together, and all they do is talk about getting laid, yet none of them have.
Yeah.
And so they set out on a quest to get laid. Whether it be homecomings, proms, whatever. Sadly, it's high school.
And they put that in American Pie, you know, American Pie, because it is something that happens.
Yeah.
Because we're guys, and we think about getting laid.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
And you can tell us we're pervs or whatever for that, but that's just reality.
Speaking of pervs, I saw our friend Special K.
He is a perv.
I saw him today, and
he's still alive.
He is never going to get laid.
Did he get butt AIDS again?
Oh my God, his hair's grossly long. It looks like he's lost even more weight, and I'm not sure how you do that out of O'Reilly's.
Yeah, that's where he's at. That's right.
Yeah, hating life.
Which one is he at?
Benson.
Benson. Oh, that's not one of Don's stores.
Mm-mm.
I said if it was one of Don's stores, I'd get him like totally fucked up. Like, yeah, make Don do something mean to him.
Yeah. but he's hating life, hating work a little bit.
Is he missing Coke?
Monster, not Coke.
Or a Monster. I mean, he was Monster, then he went to Coke, and then he went back to Monster, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he is a little bit, but no 2-week notice, not rehirable.
And see, that's what always gets me with people. It's like you never know. You know, you never know when all of a sudden it might be, you know.
Well, I get it. We've all made mistakes. He's only 30, yeah. 31, whatever he is, you know, young.
Yeah.
But I gave him all the sage. Because I burnt a lot of bridges. I've had a lot of jobs. It took me a long time to go, okay, I'm at a point where I'm not sure I care how much I hate it. Like, I have to, you know, provide and support.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's it, though. Both of us had that, I mean, at a younger age where we had to provide and support. And the only thing he has to provide and support is his, you know, his penicillin to get rid of all the the STDs.
But he was telling me he's the oldest one at this O'Reilly's. Older than the store manager and assistant.
Jesus.
And, you know, talking about the different drama. And I'm like, dude, you told me there'd be no drama. You're working at an auto parts store. You said there'd be no
freaking drama at every auto parts store.
You said there'd be no politics about, because he's talking about how he's not making enough money and he needs to take it up with management, that he's doing a job above and beyond. And yeah, and I'm just like, dude, it's every job. I told you that time and time and time again. Every job is that way.
I mean, how long was he at Monster?
5 years.
Was that like one of his first jobs?
No, he worked for Fred Meyer. He worked for Budweiser.
Oh, see, and that's what, you know. I can see it like your first job where you have that. Because, like, Benton has that issue now because he, not that he wants to go back to the, you know, working at the freaking movie theater, but he doesn't want to go to the movie theater because he didn't give a 2-week notice. He just, like, one day just stopped going.
Yeah. Like, well, I've burned those bridges. I'm not sure I have since I've turned 30.
No.
But, no, I burned those bridges.
No, we all have. At some point.
Hell, I even gave a 2-week notice when I quit to go do comedy.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah. Anyways, he's doing pretty good. Hopefully the studio will be done this weekend. I'm crossing fingers. Baseball's kind of fucking up the timeline.
Baseball always starts getting away.
So my plan was to work on it Monday, and then I forgot we had fucking Monday. Seahawks were on Monday Night Football. So I didn't do anything.
Yeah. That was a hell of a game.
I had to watch that game.
Oh, we all did.
You know, to be honest, as I sat down to watch the game, I went, yeah, I can probably go out at halftime and work on it. Like, I thought we were just going to.
Oh, it was going to be a blowout. That's what a lot of people thought.
Although, that day, I told everybody, I said, we're going to win the game. I said, it's going to be close, and we should not have won the game. But I said, I just have this weird feeling that we're going to get the W.
And it was, yeah.
And sure as shit, we should have lost by 20. When you get 10 plays inside the 10-yard line, you only walk away with 3 points. You know? Yeah, we should have lost by 20.
Fumbles at on the 1-yard line.
Yeah, first time since, like, the 80s or something that's happened.
Yeah.
In one game. So I had that, and then I was like, okay, I know I got baseball Tuesday. I'm going to work on it Wednesday. I figured we'd record, even if we did it right when I got home from work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I'm done by 4:30, have some dinner, boom, go out and work for 4 or 5 hours. Totally forgot we had fucking open house tonight. So I got home.
Kids just keep getting in the way.
You know, got the kids. Or Tosh had to go get Toby and Araya. Sat with Bella a little bit. I had to go to the grocery store, made dinner, went to open house, and now I'm recording Wednesday's shot. So I have tomorrow nothing. Baseball got moved to Friday this week, but my plan was Friday because I can come home early Friday. I was like, oh, I'll have extra time. Now I can come home and get ready for baseball. And then Saturday we got a doubleheader. And then I'm not sure where my motivation is Sunday. Well, Sunday Nick's going to come over and do the electrical.
Well, that's good because you probably shouldn't do the electrical.
Yeah.
We at least know that.
Nick's going to come over Sunday. The plan is for me and Tosh to have it finished tape and mud. We got just the ceiling left to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I haven't figured out if I'm going to throw like that hard, thin carpet or if I'm going to do like a laminate floor.
Mm-hmm.
But then it'll be ready to go. We have a paint sprayer, so it'll take 20 minutes. You know, 4 walls shouldn't be hard.
No.
Not with a paint sprayer.
Shouldn't be hard at all.
And start moving shit out there so we can start building this. Our neighbor took his carport and made it a fully walled garage. And he started it 5 days ago, and all he's got left to do is put the garage door on. And I'm like, you motherfucker. I told Tosh today as we drove by and saw it, I went, I know it's a little bit more than a cup of sugar, but do you think we can knock on his door and see if we can borrow some labor?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know?
Make him come over and help you out.
But, yeah, Kevin wants to come over when it's done and be back on the show. I don't know. Well, I think Wednesday is his day off. So, he might be able to get that in, but...
He is definitely a special one. He lives up to the name Special K.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely lives up to the name Special K.
And then next Friday, I pitch my podcast idea to the entire podcast media department for Monster and head of all media for Monster.
Well, that'd be cool.
He saw my presentation that I did at a workshop a month and a half ago on his own. I don't know how he got it.
No.
And all of a sudden, like 2 days ago, I got a message from him, and all it was a video of my presentation, and then the camera turned to his face, and it's him shaking his head yes. And I'm like, I messaged him, and I'm like, yes, no, maybe? Like, what does this all mean? And he goes, schedule an appointment next week. I want you to pitch me the idea. Huh. What? And then,
now, is that the one that's just going to be like the internal?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and then, so I don't know what's going to happen, but talking to people that if it is a yes, I would then be part of the Monster Media Department. And basically,
you
because
doing your normal job,
yeah, basically because I have my own studio, I would sit and do this all day.
Then are you gonna still run a record with me then?
Yeah, I would imagine. I gotta have fun, right?
There's gotta have some fun,
right? There's work and fun.
Oh, yeah, there is. But it's one thing sometimes because I do a couple different podcasts, and it's like the Beast Net, when I was supposed to, that Don always schedules everything, and he schedules one for like Monday at 5 o'clock, and I'm like, do you not know what Monday is? And he's like, what? And I'm like, Monday Night Football, Seahawks versus Denver. Fuck and no. How many times can I, you know, no.
How emphatic can I be with that?
Yeah. How emphatic can I be? No, I'm not going to be recording while that game's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that game was unreal.
Oh, it was. I mean, I was sitting the whole time. I think I sat down for like 3 minutes.
So I sat, but I was pumped the whole time.
I want Parkinson's jersey though, just because I want a jersey that says Parkinson on it. But
that is, I've called him it for a few years now. That is Wish. Oh my God. What's the other long haired tight end we had? Fucking Tosh loves.
Wilson.
Well, yeah, Luke Wilson.
Yeah.
So that is Wish Luke Wilson. I mean, he just looks like a different version of him.
He does. But I mean, that was a beautiful play.
I don't know if I can find
it. He took it in for the touchdown.
But I was trying to look, but we're 3 days past the game. So the game was awesome. I wish we would have done more in the second half. Yeah. To be honest, it reminded me of like an early Russell Wilson game. Sadly, yeah. I think that's about Geno Smith's ceiling, like that game he had, which doesn't bode well for the rest of the season.
It doesn't, but I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe we'll get, maybe, I mean, Pete sees something that maybe we don't. It's the same thing with Wilson. He saw something that maybe we don't, but it kind of worries me because then why didn't anyone else see it? That, you know, he's been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah, some 8 years, I think, 9 years, something like that.
Yeah, or it's one of those things that he has more faith than Locke, but he just thinks he needs a couple more.
Well, one, he played for the Jets.
Yeah, which doesn't help, everybody.
Right? That you might as well play for Cleveland at that point.
Yeah.
Two, he went from the Jets to the Giants after Eli Manning. Yeah, that's not.
No.
You know, and then the team he went to before, I can't remember which team, but I think he was just a backup. So outside of the, I mean, this was his first opening game start since the Jets. So it'd been a while since
his first opening day start in like 8 years.
Yeah. So it'd been a while.
Yeah.
You know, but oh my God, I was so here for it.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped on Twitter right after the game.
The one thing I did have to say is I watched, normally I don't watch the post game, but I did. Oh. And his statement,
Geno's,
yes,
yeah, it was pretty spot on. I loved it.
You know, what do you say to the people that wrote you off? I didn't write them back.
Yeah, they wrote me off, but I didn't write back.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah.
But I went to Twitter, and holy, so there's always been the grumblings for quite a while now, actually since he won the Super Bowl, that Russell Wilson didn't have respect in the locker room.
Yeah.
And, you know, people like Golden Tate didn't like him. I mean, Golden Tate was fucking his ex-wife. But Doug Baldwin didn't like him. Richard Sherman didn't like him. You know, all these dudes.
Oh, and I've heard that a lot. And, yeah, on Twitter, wow.
They let it go on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Baldwin was tweeting. Golden Tate was tweeting. Cam Chancellor was tweeting. Earl Thomas was tweeting. Sherman was tweeting. Bruce Irvin was tweeting. Lofa Tatupu, who I think was only here for Wilson's rookie season, was tweeting. And I just went, wow.
It really makes me wonder if, you know, and it's kind of one of those things, maybe that is why Seattle was okay with getting rid of him. Because I wonder if the biggest problem they had, he was never really like, because most like really good quarterbacks like Tom Brady, you know, and I know he's not one that you want to say that about, but I mean, look at his record. He has the respect in the locker room. Aaron Rodgers, a lot of those annoying ones that we don't like that keep winning is because they have that. They walk into the locker room and people play for them. I mean, you have people like, I couldn't see anyone doing like Gronk did. And suddenly deciding, okay, I'm going to unretire and come play for you because you asked me to. And if you, any player that, anybody that's played with Russell Wilson, I don't see any respect enough from any of them to be like, you know, but yeah, I'll come play with you over there. They're all like, nope, see you later.
Well, I could see DK trying to get over there.
I could, only because I think that Carroll's going to go into what he's always wanted to do and what he started with Russell Wilson, and that's a run first offense.
They just re-signed DK to a massive contract, so they have control over him for a while. But it doesn't mean, I think, I'm not even sure they let him go because of the locker room shit. I think he challenged Pete Carroll. Right? Yeah. He was pissed that it wasn't an offensive team, and he was vocal about it the last few years.
Yeah, he wanted a team where he threw a lot more and he did a lot of that, and that's not Carroll's style, never has been.
No, but it also was, you know, basically like, here's what I don't get right now. If Carroll wasn't a winning coach, if Carroll didn't take him to back-to-back Super Bowls on his style, you know, one we lost and one we won. I mean,
really,
don't get me wrong.
About the one that we lost was because
Carroll trusted Wilson and it didn't work out for us.
And he did not play to his style. The second we went away from Pete's style, that's when we've started having issues.
Mm-hmm.
When we had the really strong defense and strong offensive line and a good running back, we went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When we put it all on, you know, on hoping that we could do it with the quarterback, we lost.
Now, honestly, the only thing that could have made the game better is if we would have got the thing that people don't talk about Russell Wilson a lot about, but Russell Wilson, when he turns the ball over, it's always into the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, and that's why he has to make these spectacular comebacks.
Because
normally he didn't fuck up. So oh,
there
what
was
it made,
that one though. Diggs should have had that freaking ball. How Diggs didn't freaking intercept that one.
We should have had two. We had the one that bounced off Jamal Adams' face mask.
Yeah, and then Diggs. I mean, that was right through.
Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah. I mean, right, and luck plays a part in every sport.
Oh, yeah.
But both of those were relatively early enough, too. It wouldn't have really fucked up the game.
No.
But I would have liked it. His stat line was really good, Russell Wilson. 340 yards, one touchdown, no turnovers, you know. But I would have liked it if he would have fucked up. Like, that would have made it that much better.
It would have.
And it also drove me nuts, the fucking people pissing and moaning about us booing Russell Wilson.
We booed A-Rod when he came back.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, right? You know who didn't get booed when they came back?
Ken Griffey Jr.
It should have. I booed him. Fuck, I booed him when he was here. Fuck him.
Why? That's why I said it, because I know you freaking hate him.
Stupid fucker. although, as the time has gone on, now you got me going to baseball, but as the time has gone on, I've grown more and more respect for him for the simple fact his name not one time in the steroid era has ever been tied to steroids.
Yep.
And he did, by all accounts, everything 100% naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that change the fact that he's not the biggest fucking dick to ever walk? No.
No.
But, you know, no, when, not KJ,
Sherman?
Yeah, when KJ Wright left, we played Oakland. No issue, right? We did have issues with Sherman.
Well,
there was a lot of booze when we played Sherman.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. And
but it's kind of one of those things too. When you go to a division rival, because one thing a lot of people don't remember too, I mean, really, back in the AFC days, Denver and the Raiders were.
There's not enough fans that remember that.
Two of our biggest rivals.
Those guys going to the game now, the age of the people going to the games now, the majority of them are not old enough to remember the pure 80s hatred. Yeah. The pure John Elway hatred.
Yeah, because they were in our division.
If John Elway would have got hit by a car in front of the Kingdom, 60,000 people would have whipped it out and pissed on him.
Yeah.
Not one person would have picked him the fuck up. And
no.
You could say whatever you want. Fuck John Elway. Like, if John Elway now at 70 years old, fucking Walker slipped out from underneath him and he fell in a pile of horse shit and was drowning, I would put my foot on the back of his head. Like, that horse-faced stupid fucker.
It's one of those things, because I can't remember who it was. I was talking to someone the other day, and they had no idea that the Seahawks have only been in the NFC for a short amount of time, really. Because I was talking about something,
it's
like I was
close
a Rams
to half
fan.
Now.
What?
It's probably close to half of their existence.
Well, yeah.
It's probably pretty close to 50-50.
How long? No. Oops.
Seahawks came in 76. So that puts them at 45 years now. This is their 45th year, 46th year?
Yeah, something like that.
And I think we went in either late 90s, 99 or 2000, something like that.
Let's see. From 77 to 2001, Seattle was an AFC team.
So 77, 2001, that's 24 years.
Yeah.
And 2001 to 2022, yeah. It's close to 50-50.
It's like one of those things. Like, I was talking to my, I told my, I was a Rams fan for a while. And they were like, how could you be a fan of, you know, someone in our division? And I'm like, because when I was a Rams fan, they weren't in our division.
Yeah. When the greatest show on turf
had to root
started
for somebody in the playoffs. What's that?
Well, when the greatest show on turf started,
we
were not in the division.
Yeah.
When
it was
started
a couple years later.
And it was one of the most beautiful things to ever watch.
Oh, the greatest show on turf?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Why I was a Rams fan. I was a Rams fan mainly because of Kurt Warner and the greatest show on turf.
Mine is, I love Kurt Warner, but Marshall Faulk.
Oh,
but
yeah,
he was
Marshall Faulk. Well, I mean, but he's part of that. I mean, really, if you look back, Kurt Warner was amazing that year, but without Marshall Faulk, without all those guys, no.
Yeah, but Marshall Faulk was
someone to root for in the playoffs.
He was a San Diego State Aztec, so, and we didn't have a whole lot of that college to root for. Marshall Faulk was one of them.
And you had to have something to room for the playoffs, because once the playoffs came around, the Seahawks weren't in it until 2006.
Yeah. Mine pisses me off. I don't want them on my bandwagon. My non-Seahawks or Charger team, because I've always been a Chargers fan.
Oh, yeah.
My playoff team, right? We'll just say that. Since the 80s has been the Buffalo Bills.
And we know.
Well, that dumb son-in-law of mine.
I said he was a Bills fan.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Fucking idiot.
After what Cowboys did.
Yeah. Nope. Not going to work for me. Get off my bandwagon, baby.
I bet you Sam told him.
She probably doesn't know.
She might.
But
I think she pays a little more attention than you give her credit to. I bet she's like, yeah, say you're a Rams fan.
My favorite quarterback out of the 83 draft, the Marino Elway Jim Kelly draft, is Jim Kelly. Always has been.
Yeah.
And when you talk about Kurt Warner, Jim Kelly was Kurt Warner before Kurt Warner. I mean, not so much the story to get to the NFL, although Jim Kelly, but it was by choice, went to the USFL because he swore he would never play for the Buffalo Bills.
No.
And Buffalo refused to release his rights. And so when the USFL folded, he had no choice. Thurman Thomas, my favorite running back out of Oklahoma. Fuck Barry Sanders. Thurman Thomas is better.
Yeah.
Andre Reed, James Lofton, Don Beebe, the human pogo stick. When you watch that dude bounce off his head like five times, it was fantastic. That defense, Bruce Smith, Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, you know, fucking House. I can name some of the. Kent Hull was the center. House Ballard was the fucking guard. Like, you know, yeah, I'd like Steven to name me some offensive linemen. Then you can be a Bills fan. Like, Pete Metzlar's tight end, you know, that was my team. And then afterwards with fucking Drew Bledsoe, the only Cougar I've ever liked. you know.
I mean, O.J. Simpson?
Well, I don't go that far back. I'm not that old. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
The bearded was awesome. Love that guy. And Doug Flutie.
Oh, yeah, Flutie.
Yeah.
Didn't he drop kick a freaking field goal?
I think so.
Wasn't it Flutie?
But his big thing was college. The big Hail Mary he had for Boston College back in the day. That's what kind of built his legacy. But Marv Levy, one of my all-time favorite coaches outside of maybe Chuck Knox. You know, I love Mike Holmgren. So, yeah, I've always loved that team. That's always been my playoff team. But
and Allen's a good quarterback.
Yeah. And from another small school, right? Wyoming, I think.
I was so upset with myself that I sat him until Patrick Mahomes got me 47 points so I could beat Steven.
Yeah. I've got Allen in my – he was actually one of my keepers. And people are like, why are you keeping a quarterback? Quarterbacks don't get drafted till towards the end in our league.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, because I to me, one of the best ones in the league, especially fantasy-wise, by far one of the best ones in the league. You know, you have him and Mahomes. And
I have them both in our league.
Maybe I almost called him Joey Harrington because they both played at Oregon. Justin Herbert, maybe Justin Herbert, and then you have the next tier after that. You know, those are the top three, especially fantasy football points wise. Those are by far the top three, and then you know, just what it is. But you brought it up. Let's go ahead and take a look at week one fantasy football.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I won.
You did, I think.
Oh, I did. And oddly enough, I won with the highest point total.
Yeah, you did. I didn't have a very good one, but it was enough to beat. But I had, oh God, man, I freaking had like three people who like got me nothing.
Yeah, so I beat America's team. I'm currently in first place. I mean, not to brag, but you know. I had Joe Burrow and it wasn't going well. Four interceptions, a fumble. I was like, there's no way I'm winning this. But then Justin Jefferson, Pittman. I had DK Metcalf, only got me 1.6. We talked about that last week. I said, hey, should I start Metcalf? Or who? I can't remember who I said. Was it Jarvis Landry?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, that's one thing.
It was Jalen Waddle.
He threw to a lot of tight ends and stuff like that. I mean, he didn't throw to, surprisingly, Metcalf that much.
Yeah, well, it didn't help that Metcalf had the fumble.
Yeah.
So, but I had Nick Chubb. You know, Gibson had a good game. I did pretty well there. And it wasn't like his guys. When you look at his guys' scores, they're not horrible. Oh, wait, I was looking at his projection. Yeah, when you look at his scores, they were absolutely fucking horrible.
Yeah, Tom Brady only had 12 points.
So we have me in first place with the W there. Let's see who else won. You won for fourth place. You beat Tosh. No,
I played Tosh.
That's who you're playing this week.
Yeah.
You beat Steven.
Your son.
Yeah, you beat Steven. Rod won with the, it looks like the largest margin of victory this week.
He whooped Chris.
Yeah. Hoof Hearted. I don't know. I don't know who that is.
Who is Hoof Hearted?
Hmm.
Oh, I can't. I'm trying to like click on it.
Corey, Steven, Chris. Oh, it's got to be Mr. Pickett. It is Mr. Pickett. And then Tosh with the win. So, Tosh beat the baseball kid, CJ.
That's just rude.
This week, I have my son-in-law where I'm projected to lose.
Yeah.
You have Tosh where you're projected to lose.
I'm projected to lose by half a point.
Yeah. So, A little bit, like almost 3/4 of a point.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to have to move some things around, I think. I don't know.
Again, still, always.
Always, always. I haven't, I've only, I actually, I did drop and pick up one, but that was defense.
I think I went and got Taysom Hill. Was this, yeah, this was the league I went and got Taysom Hill. I should have drafted him. I thought about it all the time, and I actually missed out on him in my other two leagues. But when you have a guy who's a quarterback and a tight end, and I can put him in the tight end spot.
Yeah.
You know. He doesn't get to throw a lot, but that's when he does, that's quite a few points he gets to add on that no other tight end's going to do.
That's true.
So, not sure why I'm projected to fucking lose.
Because it's nuts.
Oh, probably because I have DK Metcalf in there.
Yeah, who knows what he's going to do? That's the hard part, because you know he's going to have at least one game where it's going to be a blowout. All of a sudden, he's going to catch everything, and he's going to freaking just have an amazing game. But you never know when that's going to happen.
No, and you really don't now.
Yeah.
With, you know, that was the one thing with Russ, right? Every game it seemed like he picked a favorite receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the guy that would get 85% of all passes.
Yes.
So, all right. So, we talked a little bit last week about D23, I'm sorry. And some okay things. But honestly, even more than the Marvel stuff, right here is the thing that I'm absolutely the most excited about.
I didn't even see that one.
Oh, my, yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, we got a Hulu commercial first.
Yeah, you definitely got a commercial. Got to have the commercial first.
Attention, everyone. Santa has an announcement to make.
For the good of Christmas. For the good of my family. I, Santa Claus, have decided to retire.
We have a grief counselor, right?
You're interviewing to become Santa Claus.
Yes. Can't wait to rub this in Brady's face.
All I do is...
Give us your best ho, ho, ho.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Ho, ho, Omaha! Omaha! You see that? I called a little audible there.
Anyhow, thanks so much.
I sing, by the way.
No, Brady can sing.
Miss me?
Is it a series?
Yes. It'll be a Disney Plus series. They're going to release the first two episodes on November 16th.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm not even... I really enjoyed the first movie. The second movie was okay.
Yeah.
The Jack Frost third movie was horrendous. Like, I shouldn't be nowhere near as excited for this. But then I saw Bernard's back.
I didn't see that.
His son is the original actor. And I'm here for it. I'm fucking here for it.
Wow.
To me, just pretty exciting. Now, I just saw that. I didn't see this.
What?
The Willow trailer.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, fuck. I'm in for that. Oh, yeah.
You think you know what is real and what isn't. What is light? What is dark? Now, forget all you know. Come with me. Willow.
We're looking for the sorcerer, Willow. I was told that once long ago you defeated the forces of evil.
You remind me of your mother.
My dear friend, I thought I could prevent all this. I was wrong.
My brother was abducted. The world needs you again. It needs your magic.
Follow me. We must go beyond the edge of our world into the unknown.
Willow!
I need your help.
Just like old times. Ha! Running! Horses! Mayhem! Mayhem! Happy to see Eddie.
Our true enemy is still out there, rallying the forces of evil. And the only thing standing in his path is us.
I'm going to enjoy this.
If you think you're not thinking, so am I.
I doubt that very much. Take him to my tent and make sure he's tied up.
I don't know. See, that kind of sounds like we're on the same page.
When I was a kid, I used to play at being a sorcerer. Visiting strange worlds, fighting monsters.
Run!
Never thought I'd actually really do it.
What the hell is that?
Trolls. I'm so miffed.
We have to hurry.
How will you defeat us?
Same as last time. With my friends.
November 30th. Holy shit.
Now I am definitely in for that.
Oh my God.
Because I thought it was like a remake, all that. And then all of a sudden I saw and I freaking watched Willow Osgood walk out and I'm like, motherfucker.
No, I knew it wasn't a remake. I saw like a round table with him and like the directors and writers and stuff. And I knew it wasn't a remake from the moment they announced it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting to look that good. And the chick from Captain America and what's it called? Or Falcon Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah. She's from Rogue One, too.
Oh, my God. She is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I just, or no, not Rogue One. Solo.
Solo. Yes. Rogue One was.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of her name now.
That was a girl from the Dragon.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh my!
But yeah, no, it was. It looks amazing. I've seen it. That's a different, trailer than I saw, and I mean, it looks amazing. I mean, Willow's in it. Did you notice that the queen?
Yeah.
Is the same woman from the original movie?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that's gonna be missing that's gonna make it a little bit sad is Mad Mortigan. But.
Well, it's been what, almost 40 years?
Yeah.
Where did Willow come out? 84, 85?
Something like that.
Holy sh! And just the way the technology and movie making's changed. Oh, man, that looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
That looks awesome. God, I have to find time to watch TV.
You do.
That
looks amazing. I mean, I'm so excited for those, which means I've really got to catch up on some of the other ones because I haven't watched She-Hulk. I haven't watched any of that yet.
Yeah, well, you know, this doesn't tie into that. This is going to be a totally separate one-off type deal, but yeah, I'm jacked.
Yeah, it's going to be one-off, but I still got to catch up because I still haven't done any of that stuff. So, but yeah, it's...
Well, there was a bunch of things I wanted to watch. What all came out Friday? Well, the new Cobra Kai came out Friday. Pickett's been texting me about how fucking awesome it is.
I still think I stopped after the second season.
I stopped after the third. I didn't, when Terry Silver came in, I didn't watch him, and he's back for this one. And then I saw a headline today, I have no clue if it's right, but that fucking Hillary Swank is in the new one.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I have to go from Karate Kid 3 to the next Karate Kid. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope, can't do it.
And that's, I mean, it just, I'll be honest, because we've talked about it before, I wasn't a big fan of the first movies.
I know you weren't.
So, I mean, it was kind of one of those things. It was interesting to watch at first, but then after a while, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, so, but the new Pinocchio came out. I heard horrible reviews on it, but still Tom Hanks' Geppetto gets my nod for at least a view.
I'll check it out, but it's going to be, I don't know.
So, speaking of that, did you see the live-action Little Mermaid teaser?
A little bit.
Did you see all the drama with that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I did, but I mean, it's one of those.
What a
I mean,
joke! It's a fish.
Yeah.
Somebody, Somebody find the original book that this movie was adapted from and tell me that it says she's white.
Right, there probably isn't one. But, I mean, it's the typical, you know, everyone freaks out because it's not exactly what they wanted it to be. It's not exactly what they remember. But, I mean, it's a different telling of the same story. If it was exactly like it's supposed to be, and the Grim Prairie tells, she fucking dies.
Yeah.
I want to see that one.
Should the makers of the new Winnie the Pooh come up with that one?
I want to see that, yes.
I know you do.
But, I mean, the original Grim, you know, Grim Fairy Tale, she gets sick and dies because she's supposed to be in the ocean.
Yeah.
That's the one I want to see. Disney makes them all happier than they should be.
Who was I talking to? I talked to somebody. Oh, it was a girl at work. Speaking of dying, this just brought it up. Who said she hated Thor Love and Thunder so much. And what ruined it for her was when they killed Zeus and they shut the movie off and refused to finish watching it.
I'm like, you should have watched it to the end credit scene and you would have seen, yeah.
Fucking idiots, man. Fucking idiots.
People get so, like, upset about things and it's just like, wow, just fucking, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it, but it is what it is. I guess it's not my opinion, it's theirs. They're just wrong.
And, I mean, it's one of those things. I the whole thing with, you know, Little Mermaid, I'm more worried about half the other characters than her. So
I'm more worried that Disney, we talked about this last week, that Disney's fucked up so many other live actions.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't think she's going to fuck it, like, her skin color is not going to fuck anything up.
No. But, I mean, Melissa McCarthy's Ursula?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe they didn't find a purple person for that. It's bullshit.
I'll find someone who could act.
Whitewashing movies again. You know?
And it's one of those things. I mean, hopefully she's not going to be in it much because that's usually the thing we talk about. Melissa McCarthy's funny for, like, the first half of the movie and then it's just the second half of the movie is just a rehash of the first half.
But the thing is that Ursula's not funny.
No.
Like, she's not a humorous person in that, you know, and you have some villains through Disney that Jafar had some comedy parts to him. Like, he was kind of funny, right? Ursula's not.
No, I could think of so many people that would have been much better for Ursula.
I still think Rebel, I now know Rebel Wilson lost a lot of weight and that maybe that was something that happened. Why, you know, she...
Well, I mean, why couldn't Ursula suddenly be skinny? Why does she have to be?
She's a big octopus?
She is, but whatever. I mean, I think actually the one, you know, the Cruella would have been perfect, but...
Emma Stone?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. Emma can probably sing. I'm actually, La La Land,
that's
my
other worry, is that Melissa McCarthy's going to sing.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. So, all right, sir, comedy coming up. We are, what, 3 weeks away?
We are 3 weeks away. In Cole Street is going to be, I got to remember the day, of course. You freaking always ask me when I'm not thinking about it. It's going to be Rusty is the headliner. Mary Ann Riley is the feature and her new husband Romeo is going to be the host, and that's October 5th. So that is at Cole Street, and then in Ording, that's going to be Kitsap Comedy is taking comedy, and Kitsap is actually taking over that night. So it's going to be October 13th, and it's going to be Joseph Rogers, Jewel Lopez, Thomas Friday, Max Weisung, and Brock Tirano.
There we go.
So, which that'll be a fun one. Those are all, I've seen most of those guys before, and they're all a really good group. So this is going to be, I think it's going to be a fun night. So, and Ording was a lot better this time, a lot less, you know, and Tony Peters, I mean, he's a fucking pro. He had them the whole time.
Tony Peters or Tony Daniels?
Tony Daniels, sorry. Didn't have to yell at him, didn't have to nothing. He commanded the crowd. He had him. He was good.
Yeah.
Total pro.
Good. Good. So you guys got a few weeks to put that on your calendar and get prepared for that. I'm probably going to say the week of that 13th there, we probably won't have a show. Okay. As I'll be in Corona. You'll have comedy.
Yeah.
Who knows, but I may be bored. I may be bored in my hotel and pull the laptop out and go for it. But as of right now, I'll say we might not have a show. So we'll see how that goes. But all right, guys. Well, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.